Today on Impact for Living, founder, sports and business leader, and pastor Scott Whitaker will challenge you to reach your God-given potential and impact, which you were created to have with and for Jesus Christ in the world. Now, here's Scott with today's message.
This morning, I want to read from one of my favorite books of the Bible, the book of Joshua, and then out of some sections in Romans and in Hebrews. First, out of the book of Joshua, chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. When the whole nation had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, "Choose 12 men from among the people, one from each tribe, and tell them to take up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, from right where the priests are standing, and carry them over with you, and put them down at the place where you stay tonight." So Joshua called together the 12 men and said to them, "Each of you is to take up a stone on his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes," and there were 12, of course, "number of tribes of the Israelites, to serve as a sign among you. In the future, when your children ask you, 'What do these stones mean?' tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. These stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever." And then out of the book of Romans, the Apostle Paul writes in chapter 8 at verse 6, "For the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the spirit is life and peace." And then the writer in Hebrews in chapter 6 at verse 19 says this, "For the law made nothing perfect, but on the other hand, a better hope is introduced, a hope through which we draw near to God." I recently read about a study done a number of years ago, with one focus of the study being aimed at how we learn, how people learn things. In it, randomly selected people were asked two questions related to the height of redwood trees. The first group was asked these questions. First, is the height of the highest redwood tree more or less than 1,200 feet? And then they were asked the second question, what is your best guess about the height of the tallest redwood tree? The second group was asked the same questions, but with different number in the first question. The first question asked the second group was this, is the height of the highest redwood tree more or less than 180 feet? And then, what is your best guess about the height of the tallest redwood tree? The two different heights given them, 1,200 feet to the first group and 180 feet to the second group, are called anchors. And what's interesting is that those different anchors greatly affected the answers of those two groups. Anchors tend to do that. They affect our thinking, our evaluation of information given and gathered, and as a result, they greatly affect our behavior. In the first group, given the high anchor of 1,200 feet, they guessed an average height of redwood trees of about 844 feet. Those in the second group, given the low anchor of 180 feet, guessed an average redwood height of 282 feet. That's a difference between the two groups' guesstimate of the height of a redwood tree, or the tallest redwood tree, a difference of 563 feet between the answers. That difference is due to something psychologists call the anchoring effect. Simply this, we tend to rely heavily on the first fact, the first price, the first impression of information which we receive. We unwittingly anchor to it. And once we do, it often becomes a baseline for our decision, like the folks in those two groups I mentioned a moment ago. And by the way, for the record, the tallest redwood tree measured has been in the neighborhood of 380 feet, if you'd like to know. The book goes on to share that parents use this anchoring phenomenon, or maybe they should consider using it at times. One of their children, for example, wants to stay out until midnight. The parents want them home by 11 p.m. You don't throw out as a parent 11 p.m., but maybe start by offering 10 p.m. And that becomes an anchor to the child. And then when you compromise in the middle between 10 and midnight, i.e. 11 p.m., the child feels it's a compromise. The anchor Paul sets above for us in the passage from Romans that we read as we began is the Holy Spirit. the third member of the Trinity, the Helper, who Jesus promised the disciples he would send as he was about to ascend into heaven. The writer of Hebrews refers to hope as an anchor, the hope of God, the hope of Christ, the hope of that Holy Spirit that Paul was referring to, hope which keeps us from drifting and keeps us moving in the right direction, an anchor which holds us steady when navigating treacherous waters, just like an anchor holds a boat steady and helps it navigate through treacherous and dangerous waters. Hope anchors us to the promises of God and points us toward him and where we should go as we, too, navigate through dangerous and often uncertain waters. What are the anchors that we use to guide us through the day, that you use and I use? Well, here's a clue that might give you an answer or get you close to the answer. Ask yourself this question: what occupies your daily thoughts? We often say that our faith, our hope, the important priorities of our life are the things to which we are anchored. But are they? Or do we just say they are? What really are the anchors of your life? Be honest now. Are they stuff and things? Maybe your job, success, wins, championships, money, acquiring money, titles, your image to others around you and the community and state, etc., beyond? When the unexpected happens to us, to you and to me, how do we respond? It depends on what our anchor is. What do our emotions look like when the circumstances around us change suddenly for the worse? Do they look like a roller coaster or a quiet stream? It depends on our anchors. The world is continually invading our mind and thoughts, suggesting all sorts of other things to follow, other anchors to mark our lives. The problem, though, is this: even though those anchors might lead to comfort and temporary worldly success, they will not lead to the life, the fulfillment, the peace, satisfaction, or impact that we were meant to have in this world with our life. And if those are the anchors of your life, my friends, look out when the bottom falls out and our best laid plans and efforts go south quickly. But if our anchor is the hope of Christ rather than the stuff of the world, then no matter what we face, we have our anchor in the peace of God and aligned with God and his plans for our lives, as we looked at last week and the week before. I'm a notorious collector of things which mark memories for me, memories of my life. Probably because there was nothing tangible left, pictures, no things, etc., left from my childhood, with all the moving, the separation of parents and my family being separated from each other, and being on my own early in life. Nothing, no things to collect, no pictures. So today, if you look in my stuff, you can find all sorts of things in my collections. Game stubs, for example, from my granddaughter Hannah or Ellie's first football game, basketball game stubs from their first games or their first baseball game, coins and mugs from family trips, pictures of Linda and my family, recordings on our phones of the girls' voices from 15 years ago, one from my daughter-in-law, one from a young man I coached, many other things that I have collected, including T-shirts gathered through the years. We have a hope chest that Linda got when we were first married from her parents. And in it, she was, at my request, going to save something of Nathan through the years, piece of clothing, article, something to remember him by as he grew up, and then of her granddaughters. Well, hope chest isn't that big, and she didn't do it, but she knew my heart, and she wanted to, even though my family laughs at me today and all there. Linda understood what she was trying to do and what I hoped for. A few years ago, Linda asked me to go through a stack of about 100-plus T-shirts of mine that she found in plastic bags. No problem, I told her. Glad to do it. Except when I started to go through them. There was one from my son Nathan's first baseball game. Well, need to keep that. Then the one from his team when I first coached him. Kept that one too. A few from our trip to the College World Series in Omaha when I coached at Florida. Well, kept all of those. Then there was one that reminded me of this and one that reminded me of that, one that reminded me of Hannah and Ellie and others, my daughter-in-law, my bride, my son, over and over as I went through the t-shirts, memories came flooding back as I looked at t-shirt after t-shirt. And by the time I'd gone through them all, I handed Linda back 10 t-shirts that I told her she could give away. And I kept about 90, a little over 90, which are now on a shelf in my closet. It wasn't really what she had in mind when she handed me those plastic bags, but then she knew me well enough to know what was coming. And each day I can still see them, maybe gathering a little dust up there, but guarding the memories of some great, some important moments with important people in my life. They keep me anchored in what's important or should be important to me. The Old Testament calls them mezuzahs or mementos that remind me of God's goodness and God's faithfulness. From the passage we read from Joshua, as we began, we see that the Lord told Joshua to set up 12 stones. Joshua told the people that when the children ask what those stones mean, you tell them that they memorialize God's faithfulness in holding back the raging Jordan River waters so the nation of Israel could cross into the promised land. They were anchors, reminding the Israelites of God's faithfulness, God's direction and purpose for their lives, anchors connecting them to what was important, anchors connecting them to God. And when I get asked by others, especially my granddaughters, about my t-shirts or other collectible items that I have, I can tell them that it's God reminding me of the important people, the important things and moments that He has graciously placed in my life. Look, I'm not sure everything I keep anchors me in something God wants me to remember, but pretty close, pretty close. Everything I keep anchors me to what God has taught me over and over are important. The people and things, the direction and purpose, things that I should accomplish to have an impact for the good of others using the gifts and the potential that He has placed within me. They anchor me to Him and to my purpose in life. What are you anchored to? What should we, you and I, be anchored to? Let me suggest that we always anchor to the hope of the risen Christ, to the Holy Spirit within us, who is ready to guide us and encourage us, if we will let Him, each day in the direction that our lives should go. Anchors which remind us of the faithfulness of God, and anchors that will fuel our faith in moving forward, and which remind us of all we can be with and for Him, for others. Let me pray for us. Father, thank You. Thank You for just being in our lives. Thank You for all the times that You have stood with us as we look back and see Your faithfulness and always being there. Thank You for the people, the important moments, the things You brought into our lives. Thank You for helping us to learn, even though sometimes we're very slow learners, about what's important and what You want us to do. But just thank You, Lord, for the anchors in our lives that You've placed there. And thank You for the revelation that You keep before us every day that we should move toward anchoring our lives to You, anchoring our lives to the Holy Spirit, anchoring our lives to the hope of the risen Christ, so that we, with You, can deal with whatever we face and move forward in becoming not only more than we ever thought we could be, but all that You created us to be, for Your glory and for the good of others around us and for our lives. Thanks for loving us. In Your Son's precious name we pray, amen and amen.
We hope that Scott's message today has challenged and encouraged you. Thank you for being with us, and be sure to join Scott and Impact for Living next week for another faith-filled message focused on God's plan and purpose for your life.